Welcome, everyone, to episode 168 of the NBA podcast. I'm Brian Toporek, and today, to combat the August lulls in the NBA season, we're going to pick every over-under in the Western Conference. Before we get underway, a reminder, you can follow us on Twitter at the NBA Pod. In our bio, you can find our Twitter handles, so give us a follow as well. You can also find us on iTunes, so please subscribe, download, leave some five-star reviews. We'd love any feedback. And we're now being hosted on the Almighty Baller Podcast Network, so check them out on Twitter at Almighty Casts. Joining me today, as always, is my very stable genius of a co-host, Morten Jensen. How's it going, Mort?
The heat wave has finally passed, and we've had rainy days. The drought lasting 3 months is over.
Hallelujah.
I'm happy.
Yeah.
I'm happy, Brian.
That's so
I'm
good.
Really happy.
I'm glad to hear that for you. I think your weather came over here now, because it's hot as all hell in Nashville.
Oh, I feel bad for you, because this was 3 months. I'm going to tell you something absolutely insane. Because we live in Scandinavia, or I live in Scandinavia, you know, we usually never have droughts. Mm-hmm. So a three-month drought had some unforeseen consequences, like the foundation of houses, of some houses, started cracking.
Wow.
Like, because the entire foundation was just, like, not accustomed to not getting some type of water intake.
Oh, my gosh.
So, like, everything just started cracking.
That's not great.
Yeah. That's not great. And I'm kind of thinking, yeah, it's only going to get worse from here. And then I had to log on to Facebook and see a lot of people go, oh, well, that's just a coincidence. There's no such thing as climate change. And I just felt like I wanted to kill myself.
Well, it's a Chinese hoax, didn't you know?
Oh, of course it is. Right. That's true. Yeah.
All right. Well, so there's no big NBA news as of late because it's the middle of August. We're going to start with our division previews in a couple weeks. But before we do that, we're going to do over-unders because Vegas released their lines for every team about a week or two ago. So we're going to do the Western Conference today. We're going to do the Eastern Conference next episode. We also have our league pass rankings, our annual league pass rankings. We're going to hopefully have a very special guest for that one, so keep an eye out for that later in the month. But today, let's start with the Western Conference. We're going to just go through every team alphabetically, use the lines. I think it's from the Las Vegas Westgate Superbook or whatever it's called. We're going to give our picks. Some of these we feel more strongly about than others, so don't necessarily listen to this podcast and then go to Vegas or whichever state you're in if they've legalized sports betting. Don't take these picks as gospel, because some of them Vegas did a really good job on, and the lines are like pretty close to where we think the teams are going to finish. And then some of them we do feel strongly about. So we'll, as we talk through each one of these lines, we'll give our opinions and why we're picking the way we do, and then say whether we feel strongly about it, not strongly, so on and so forth.
Right. And if you go to Vegas based on our analysis and you win a shit ton of money, you send 10% our way. Right. I mean, it's just fair.
Yeah. It's only fair. That's true.
It's only fair. By the way, did you just tease a guest we haven't confirmed? That's very unlike you.
I know. I did. Well, we mostly confirmed it. We need to find a date that works. But it'll be in a week or two, most likely, because we're going to have these over-under pods first.
I just like it. There's a little bit more like swagger to you, because usually you're so secure in your way. Like, we have to get this thing locked down before we advertise about it. Everything. And now you're like, no. We'll see.
That's
we'll
true.
See. You're kind of a maverick playing by your own rules right now.
Old age, I like it. Has turned me into YOLO, basically.
Been there. Yeah. Been there. Yep.
All right. So let's start at the top of the Western Conference. The Dallas Mavericks. The line is 34.5 wins. So just to let people know how these work, if we say the over, that means we're picking them to have at least 35 wins. The under would mean 34 or fewer. So where do you stand with the Mavs, Mort? Over or under?
I mean, I think slightly under, but I wouldn't be surprised either way. But I will say I also wouldn't be surprised if they ended up at exactly 34 wins.
Yeah.
Like, I think Vegas kind of had a good one right there.
Yeah, I totally agree. I was like, when I was initially filling out my picks, I had them as an under, because I looked, you know, last season they were what, like they had 24 wins. You could pretty easily see another season where they finished like high 20s, low 30s. But then I was like, oh wait, but they did get DeAndre Jordan. And I think that will make a pretty big difference. Not to mention, of course, Luka Doncic as well.
Yeah, I was just about to say that was the first go-to name you. Well, like, that's not the best player they got this year.
Right. I remember they got Doncic. I totally spaced on DeAndre Jordan for whatever reason. Maybe because I thought it was 2015 and he like reneged on them again. But then, you know, I mean, I think having that type of interior presence is really going to help Dennis Smith Jr. especially. He's also, right. You know, rookie point guards tend to struggle. He's not a rookie anymore, so he's going to have a year of experience having a pick and roll big, and DeAndre is going to be good. I don't know what we get out of Doncic, but just because of his international experience, I think he's going to be more NBA ready than a typical rookie. So I think he'll contribute more in terms of winning right away.
Oh, yeah. Like, let's just take a minute and talk about that. Like, let's just right off the bat, he is by far the most NBA ready rookie in this class.
Right.
Like, I don't know why I'm seeing, like, a lot of tweets about, oh, he'll struggle the first couple of years. No, this kid is not, like, going to be a long-term project.
Right.
he's ready.
Yeah, he's been playing against pros for years now. Not in the NBA, but he's, like, I mean, he has faced NBA players, and he's played with NBA players. Like, he's ready to make an impact right away.
Oh, yeah.
And then it's also Dirk Nowitzki's probably his last season. I mean, I think it's safe to make that prediction. So it feels
when you're 56, it better be.
Yeah. So it feels wrong to, you know, I don't feel strongly about picking the over here, but I did go slightly over just because I don't want to see Dirk go out like that. I don't think they make the playoffs, but I hope they finish with like 37.
Oh, I like that. I like that. You're taking the emotional angle here.
Yeah.
You know what? Here's the thing. We kind of skip over emotions when we do predictions and stuff like that. But I kind of think that in this particular instance, emotions might actually carry some weight. Because if everyone knows that this is Dirk's last season, I have a feeling everyone is going to be like, let's win one for the Kipper, right?
Right.
Like, let's get to the playoffs by any means necessary.
Exactly.
And with Doncic being so NBA ready, with DeAndre there, with Dennis Smith Jr. likely having a much better season, and he didn't have a bad rookie season, like, but he'll probably improve upon that.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it's not out of the realm of possibility they get a playoff spot. It's unlikely.
Right.
I don't necessarily think it'll happen, but I'm not ruling it out in its entirety.
Mm. Yeah, I'm not either. I mean, if they were in the Eastern Conference, I'd think they were right in the mix for that number 8 seed.
But oh, yeah.
It's just the West is going to be so tough this year. It'd be really difficult for them to make the playoffs. That said, I think somewhere in the mid-30s feels right. I think you're right. Vegas did a pretty good job with this line. I don't feel strongly about it either way. But if I had to pick, it would be the over.
Mm.
The Denver Nuggets are at 47.5. Another one I feel like Vegas did a pretty good job here. But which way do you lean?
Over.
Interesting.
Over. I mean, look, Paul Millsap missed... Oh, God, how many games?
Yeah, like 30. I don't remember. 30 plus.
I think it was more, right?
Yeah, I think, let's see, it was...
Wasn't it in the 50s?
34. No.
Oh, yeah, 44. Okay. 44, yeah. Okay, very close. Yeah, getting him back for a full season, getting Isaiah Thomas off the bench,
mm-hmm.
having Nikola Jokic and Gary Harris and Jamal Murray with one more year of experience under their belts... I mean, I would be shocked if they don't crack 50.
Yeah. I mean, I picked the under here, and it's not a reflection of how I feel about Denver as a team, because I think they're very good. Their depth feels a little flimsy to me. Like, I love their starting five, and I love Isaiah Thomas mm-hmm. as their sixth man. But outside of that, like, who do you feel good about on their bench?
Trey Lyles, man.
So if, like, Millsap goes down, you feel like Trey Lyles is just going to slide in and they're not going to miss a beat?
Well, that's a pretty... I mean, no, they're going to miss a beat, but I think he's a lot better than people give him credit for.
That's fair.
And I think he'll hold his own, like, against second unit. I think he's closer to being a starter, like a regular season starter, than he is, like, some type of end-of-bench player.
Mm.
Like, I think he's sort of a pseudo-starter at this point.
Yeah.
And they also have Juan Hernan Gomez coming off the bench, who didn't see a hell of a lot of minutes, but should get more minutes with Michael Porter not playing.
Right. Yeah.
So, and Malik Beasley entering his, if I'm not mistaken, this is his third year? Yeah. I wouldn't be surprised to see him make some noise. I kind of like their depth, actually. It's a little bit on the radar, and they haven't produced a whole lot, but I think they have the makeup to do so.
I could see that. I mean, again, I like their starting five. I have no questions with. I think I liked Will Barton as a sixth man more than I do as a starter. So I liked having that Wilson Chandler, even though he didn't play well last season. I just liked having him as like a low usage. Ideally, he would have been a little bit better of a 3-point shooter, but he still shot almost 36%. But Gary Harris, Jamal Murray, Paul Millsap, Nikola Jokic, they all need their touches. I feel like moving Barton into the starting lineup, as they reportedly plan to do, I just don't know that there are enough touches to go around. And then, you know, the balance just feels a little off to me, I guess, it is the way I would say it. But, like, I respect, I mean, Jamal Murray and Gary Harris, I need to write about it soon. Like, they're, both of them are going to be stars if they are. I'm like, Gary Harris is already there. But, you know, like, but when we talk about, like, the best backcourts in the NBA, those guys are going to be there very soon.
Oh, yeah. Like, maybe even this season.
Yeah.
But here's the thing regarding your point about touches. I think for one team in particular, like, that's on the bubble of being a contender, because right now, I think we both agree that Denver is a playoff team. Like, they're just too good to not be a playoff team. So they're, but they're still that one, maybe one spot away from being like a championship contender.
Right.
But outside of championship contenders, that's the one team I don't worry about when it comes to like touches. Like, this is an extremely unselfish ball club.
Yeah, that's true.
From every position, like, you, even, you know, people were starting to crap on both Gary Harris and Jamal Murray for having low assist counts. But like, that's, that just doesn't paint any, in any way, the correct picture of what's happening on the court.
Right. Yeah. Oh, no, not at all. I mean, because like, you want to run your offense through Jokic, and Paul Millsap's a really good passer too. Like,
yeah,
all of those guys, you don't have many teams where your two bigs are such good passers. So of course, Murray in particular, and then Harris as well, they're not going to have crazy assist numbers, but just because, like, you've got so many good passers all in one team, which is fine. And again, I agree with you. They're a playoff team. My underpick here is not saying they're going to, like, miss the playoffs and win 35 games. Like, 46 or 47 feels reasonable. It's, as I said, Vegas did a good job with this line. Like, I think they finish within 2 to 3 wins either way of that line.
I think they're 50 plus and probably closer to 55.
Wow. Interesting.
I'm really high on Denver this year.
You are with Denver like I am with OKC, as we'll get to later.
That is actually a pretty fair comparison. Yeah.
Okay. Golden State Warriors, 62.5.
I'm looking at the email you sent over. You have them as under?
Yeah.
Explain yourself, sir.
I just don't think they give a shit about the regular season. They had 58 last year. They're not going to rush Boogie back. They don't care. They're going to rest a lot of guys, especially late in the year. Like, they.
But even with the new, like, resting rules, though?
Yeah. Because they're not going to be on national TV every game. They don't care.
All right.
They just don't care.
No, I'm going to buy that argument.
Yeah. I mean, it's not a reflection of their talent. Clearly, they're the best team in the NBA. But I think they learned their lesson from the 73-win regular season a couple years ago, that it doesn't matter. Save yourself for the playoffs. Rest your, you know, even if they play their starters, they're not going to play them, like, 38 minutes like Tom Thibodeau would. They're going to play them in the low 30s. They're going to take a couple L's that they shouldn't because they don't care and they want to preserve their bodies for mid-April.
Yeah. I'm just looking at one guy in particular who I expect to become much, much better, who was already good in the first place.
Jordan Bell. Yeah. It's fair.
I have a feeling, like, when you take some of those guys out of the equation, like if Draymond sits or KD sits, like, this dude could actually win you a ball game or two.
Yeah.
Or at the very least, he'll keep you in games, and then by sheer talent level, they'll win. I mean, I can see your argument. I think I'm still over. Mm-hmm. But I'm not saying like they're going to win 70.
Right, right. And that's fair.
But I think 65 like Houston had last year, I think could be a pretty fair estimate.
Yeah, I mean they won since Steve Kerr took over. They were 67 in 2014-15, 73 in 2015-16, 67 again in 2016-17. 58 last year was the fewest they've won since Steve Kerr took over. And then, you know, Curry missed 30 games. KD missed 14. Klay and Draymond missed a couple each. Like, Iggy was hurt a little bit. They dealt with a lot of injuries. So it's it's fair to say 65 is basically, I don't want to say their floor, but, you know, it's fair to say that's a reasonable expectation for them. To me, I think they just don't care.
Probably, but then when Boogie does return,
yeah,
that's like, true. Are they gonna go on a 30 game winning streak? I mean, like, I could realistically see a scenario wherein they just don't lose more than a couple games after he returns.
Yeah,
because then he would need to play
right.
to get like his reps in and like get his experience up with those guys and get the chemistry right.
Yeah.
And that's just going to be insane. You're going to see lineups with Boogie, Dre, KD, Klay, and Steph. And if those guys just get like 10 or 15 minutes a game, that plus minus is going to be insane.
Yeah, I think that's when they turn it on, is when Boogie does come back, because they know they need to get chemistry with him. But I think those first couple months, they're just going to half-ass their way through. And Just because the West is so much better now, like, they could do that last year and the only team they had to worry about was Houston, but now the West is so much better, if they do that again, they're going to get their brains beaten in a couple times.
I'll buy it. Yeah. I'll buy it. I see your argument. It just seems so low when you look at the roster.
I know. I agree. I don't feel good about any of the picks so far. The next pick I feel much better about.
Then let's go do it.
Houston Rockets, 54.5.
Over.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean,
like, they're not going to have like an 11 game drop.
No. Yeah, right. No. They won 65 last year. I know, like, their offseason has been much maligned because they lost Ariza and they lost Luke Mbamute. James Ennis is underrated. DeAnthony Melton, like, I don't know how much he's going to play this year, but the analytics models loved him, all pegged of him. Not only as a first-round pick, but some of them pegged him as a top 10 talent in this draft. He fell to 46.
He's extremely good.
Yeah, like, don't look at where he was drafted as a reflection of his talent.
Right.
He just had weird circumstances surrounding him. He missed a year of college, flew into the radar, like, revised his shooting stroke, dazzled in summer league. He's really good. I don't like it.
And Melo.
Right. And Melo, who there are conflicting reports as to whether he will be coming off the bench. Adrian Wojnarowski originally reported that and then kind of dialed that back. But there seems to be at least some openness to it. Mike D'Antoni is, you know, talking about this marriage and saying it's not going to be as disastrous as when he was in New York. I'm optimistic that Melo will dial his ego back just like the tiniest bit. If nothing else, because his buddy Chris Paul is there. And Chris Paul is going to be like, yo, dickhead. You can't do X, Y, and Z. Like, we won 65 games last year. You are not better than me. You are not better than James Harden. Get in line. Know your role. Play Olympic Melo style, and we'll win another 60+. We'll give the Warriors another real threat.
Right. And at the same time, I've pounded this point home before, there is a difference in getting fed the ball by Chris Paul and James Harden and Russell Westbrook.
Right.
So I think we've gone into like the ultimate Melo is underrated territory.
Yeah.
I mean, oh my God, the amount of people just crapping on like him as a player.
Right.
At this point saying like he should just retire. Like, no, he still averaged like 16 points. Right. Like, stop it. Right.
Just because he's not like hyper efficient doesn't mean he's a useless basketball player. Like,
right. And he could be efficient here.
Yeah. Yeah. I think he's going to. I'm optimistic about this working out. I think there are going to be some struggles at first, maybe, but I think he will provide, especially during the regular season, he'll provide some serious value. During the playoffs, we could talk about that later because teams will target him so relentlessly on defense. But in the regular season, when James Harden's having an off night, when Chris Paul is having an off night, having a Carmelo Anthony who can go off for 20, 25, even 30 points on a given night, he's going to steal some games for them.
Mm-hmm. Yes, he is. And then people are going to be all, oh, Melo is back. And right. most of us are just going to be, oh, shut up.
Right, right.
Yeah, yeah.
All right, Los Angeles Clippers, 35.5.
Oh. Oh, that's tough. I mean, they're in a great rebuilding position, but that doesn't necessarily mean that they're primed to win a lot of games right now. Mm-hmm. I love Tobias Harris, mm-hmm. who should have like a career year. Lou Williams is still good, but both guys are not active defenders. Mm-hmm. Montrezl Harrell is there on a good deal. Energy player coming off the bench, maybe even starting. Got some nice rookies there, but I'm not sure whether they're NBA ready yet. Oh, that's a good one. Can I just call it a push?
Yeah.
And go like, yeah, around 50 or 35, 36 wins?
That's fair. I'm leaning slightly over just because, I mean, I like their depth and I like their starting five. I know Gallinari is bound to get hurt at some point, which I think will put this closer to where they end up being. Like, I think they have the talent of a 40-plus win team. I think Gallinari will get hurt, and then they're going to have to rely on the likes of Luke Mbamute and Wes Johnson, and then you don't feel as good about them. But, like,
right.
Patrick Beverley, Avery Bradley, Gallinari, Harris, Marcin Gortat starting five is not half bad. And then you got Lou Williams off the bench. You have Harrell, as you mentioned. You have Boban, the cheat code Boban, who, like, comes in and has a PER of, like, 27, even though he plays 8 minutes a game. You've got the rookies. You know, I'm optimistic about this team. I think...
I get it.
As you said, they're in a great rebuilding position. They could... It's feasible that they carve out two max contract spaces for next year. So, what we see now, I mean, Steve Ballmer has said he doesn't want to tank. He thinks it doesn't send a good message to free agents. So, they're going to compete this year. I don't think they do a fire sale at any point this year, even though they've got a couple guys who are on expiring contracts, most notably Tobias Harris. I think they give it their all. I mean, Harris and Beverly are both in contract years. Bradley, I believe, only like $2 million or something of his contract is guaranteed after this year. So he's also, and Gortat's in a contract year too. So a lot of these guys have a lot to play for. I think, you know, I lean toward, I definitely pick the over here, and I think they finish closer to 40 wins than they do 35.
I think it's optimistic, but I can't fault your reasoning. I can't fault your reasoning. And Marjanovic, the point about him is actually pretty decent. When you look at his numbers, and given that this team is probably going to play him a little bit more this season, woof.
Yeah.
I mean, that's production right there. That whenever that guy's on the court, he produces.
Right. Yeah, and he really genuinely might get more minutes this year. Please, God, give him more minutes. Like, you're probably not going to make the playoffs. That's
right.
Pure entertainment. And he needs to boost the profile of John Wick 3 before his starring role in that.
Oh, I'm looking so much forward to that.
Me too. What a dream. Los Angeles Lakers are at 48.5.
Oh, God.
Yeah, this is a tricky one.
I mean, LeBron in and of itself is like 40.
Right.
Just because of his presence, they're going to crack 40.
Right.
I think it really comes down to is that bench and that that's a weird supporting cast. Mm-hmm. If is that going to rise to the occasion or are they just going to implode completely?
Right.
Right? That's really the crux of it.
Right.
48.5, I kind of feel that's a good area.
Yeah.
It might even be a little bit lower, but could also theoretically be just a little bit higher if Rondo comes in and is actually productive. Mm-hmm. I think I'm going with the slightly over. 49-50.
I went the under here, and I think we spoke about this an episode or two ago. Just the history of LeBron James after he switches teams. There is often a big transition period in which the club plays 500 ball for a decent part of the year. I think we're going to see the same thing here. Because unlike when he went to Miami and teamed with D-Wade and Chris Bosh, or when he went back to Cleveland and had Kyrie and Kevin Love, he doesn't have a supporting superstar this time. So if he doesn't give his all every night, they're going to lose. I mean, Ingram and Ball could eventually become that, but they aren't there yet.
Right.
They're going to get teams like more, I don't want to say like their best effort, because it's still, you know, they're not the Warriors, but like teams are going to be more focused on beating them, if that makes sense.
Because LeBron.
Right. Like, yeah. They're not going to go into that game thinking, oh, they're the Lakers. They've got a bunch of young kids. They're a pushover. We don't have to like study film. We can just, you know, walk in and beat them. Like,
right.
Because LeBron is there, they know they're actually going to have to give a shit.
And Lonzo.
Right. So
for different reasons.
Right. Right. So I think they're going to command more respect from opponents. And you're right. Like, Kyle Kuzma talked to, I think it was Om Yongmizuk of ESPN yesterday, and said, like, people are sleeping on us, underrating us, blah, blah, blah. It's possible. Like, you know, there's a world in which this, like, misfit cast does come together and the young guys take a big step forward. Kuzma, Ball, Hart, Ingram, Rondo, and Beasley, and Lance Stevenson, you know, all play good defense. Rondo hits people with good passes. Beasley and Stevenson improve as three-point shooters along with KCP. It's totally possible they crack 50 wins, but I just think given how much overhaul they had, it's going to take this team a while to develop chemistry. So I think they're going to—it's the early part of the season is going to be a slog for them. And then, again, it just comes back to the Western Conference. Like, there are no nights off in the Western Conference anymore. Unless you're playing the Kings or the Suns. But aside from that, every team can put up a good fight. So I think, you know, 46, 47 feels more likely to me than 49 or 50.
You know what's crazy? If you take away, like, the head case component of these players, like, you have extremely skilled, extremely talented players.
Yeah.
Like, Beasley is an out-of-the-world talent.
Right.
JaVale McGee, out-of-this-world talent. Rajon Rondo is probably one of the most intelligent players we've ever had in the NBA.
Yeah.
And I mean that completely legitimately.
No, right.
So when you look at it from a talent-slash-skill perspective, this should be a 60-win team.
Mm-hmm.
Like, when you look at it through that lens solely. But given just how nutty these guys are,
right,
some of them, Lance Stevenson especially.
Yep.
Like, you just automatically detract, like, a handful of games, at least, like, at the very least, because you just know, well, sometimes they're just going to muck it up.
Right.
Like, that's just what these guys do. And the question it comes down to is, how much are these guys going to muck it up?
Right. Right.
Like, because that's going to affect the entirety of this season for them.
Yeah. Yeah, totally. Yeah, like,
I mean, I have them over, but I could also see a scenario where you're absolutely right.
Yeah.
And they go under.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah, I don't feel particularly strongly about this line either way. This next line...
How many do we actually feel confident about, though?
So far, Houston. And then this next line I feel pretty strongly about. The Memphis Grizzlies are 34.5.
Oh, yeah.
I'm way over here.
I don't know how... I'm not way over, but I'm over. I mean, I'm not going, like, 50.
No.
But like, 40, 42?
Yeah.
I could talk myself into that. I will say this. I wouldn't be surprised if they should be over, but I wouldn't be surprised if they end up like just over, like 36, 37.
That's fair. Here's the basis for my reasoning. Before, like, last season was a total shit show, disaster, whatever.
Oh, yeah.
I don't feel good about JB Bickerstaff. I'll say that much. But before last season, they had 40 or more wins in each of the past 8 seasons. And I know they don't have Zebo, they don't have Tony Allen anymore. But they made a couple, like, good under-the-radar, or, like, sort of under-the-radar pickups, like Kyle Anderson.
Oh, they had a good summer. Yeah. Like, we can say that. They had a good summer.
Garrett Temple. Jaren Jackson Jr. is ready to make an impact right away. He's not going to be, like, a 35-minute-a-game guy, but, like, he...
20.
Yeah. But he can make an impact in those 20 minutes, I think.
Oh, yeah.
As long... This is all dependent on Mike Conley. Because we still don't know whether he's healthy, and if he's not, everything I say goes out the window. But if he comes back healthy, he's a good player. Marc Gasol is a good player. I think Marc Gasol will not be as much of a malcontent if Mike Conley is there and they actually have real talent around them, and they won't have to rely on Chandler Parsons. Like, that dream is dead, which is good. I mean, you're right. I don't think they win 50 games. I don't think they win 45. I think they're 38, 39, somewhere around there.
Did they re-sign Marshawn Brooks?
I don't remember. I don't think so. Maybe.
I know it was very small volume.
Yeah.
But, like, he came in and provided a very necessary scoring punch. And if that's the one thing that's really been missing in Memphis, like, you saw it with Tyreke Evans as well. Like, Memphis has always needed this third scoring guy. Like, there is an opening in Memphis for someone, a perimeter player preferably, to come in and put up good numbers. And if neither Tyreke Evans, who is with Indiana right now, and if Marshawn Brooks isn't returning and playing, you know, I'm not saying he's going to average 20 over a full season, but he could average like 12 or 13. Like, who's that guy going to be?
So it looks like Marshawn Brooks actually signed a multi-year deal with Memphis at the end of last year. So he is signed. It was like $51,000 at the end of last year, but he's earning $1.6 million this year. So he is on the Grizzlies.
Oh, it was a multi-year. Yeah. Okay, not bad.
Yeah. I was like, I didn't remember hearing his name this summer, but that explains why. So yeah.
I didn't as well. Yep, you're right. Signed a 2-year minimum salary contract on April 6th. That's my fault. Yep. I thought he was a free agent for some reason. Okay, that definitely changes things because they need offense.
Right.
Well, they just need offense.
They also have Dylan Brooks, who I know like isn't the most exciting guy, but
he was good. Yeah,
he can score. I mean, like they're gonna miss Tyreke Evans. Tyreke Evans was their best player last year. That was a big loss for them. But I think the combination of Temple, Anderson, Jaren Jackson, they got Caspi as well. I think all of those guys will help to mitigate that loss. And then again, just getting Mike Conley back is huge. So, yeah, I feel pretty...
And maybe even Kobe Simmons as well, who's on a two-way deal. Like, he's actually pretty fluid.
And they got Sheldon Mack too, is that right?
Oh yeah, Orlando Magic assist leader Sheldon Mack.
Oh boy. Can't wait till we get to the Orlando line next episode. All right, Minnesota Timberwolves. I think this one's really interesting. 44.5.
Oh, that just seems like right there.
It's tempting to say the over there, but because they won 47 last year, and Jimmy Butler missed like, what, 20 plus games?
Yeah, 23, I want to say.
Yeah, so... Yeah, 23. I mean, Wiggins...
And Jeff Teague missed 12.
Yeah, Wiggins, Towns, and Gibson played every game. They lost Jamal... Well, Jamal Crawford still hasn't signed anywhere this summer, but they don't have him.
Right.
I mean, they brought back pretty much everyone else. Like, on paper, this should be a clear over, and yet I'm taking the under.
Yeah, you're thinking, like, the chemistry issues?
I think this team implodes by mid-January.
Yeah, I would not be surprised at that at all. Jimmy doesn't really like it there, does he?
It sure doesn't seem that way.
Oh, well, that was worded wrongly. Like, he doesn't like playing with Wiggins and Towns there.
Right.
I don't think he has a problem with the destination. Right, I don't think he has a problem playing with Tibbs. I think he's looking at those two guys and just going, I can't go through this right now.
Yeah, I mean... The amount of leaks, even dating back to before the playoffs, there were some rumblings coming out, especially from Darren Wolfson, who worked for 1500 ESPN, where he was just saying, like, behind the scenes, you would think, you know, the Timberwolves just snapped this long playoff drought, everything should be hunky-dory. It's very much not. And then, like, you know, yeah. Over the summer, we've seen a couple things. They're just like, Jimmy hates Carl. Jimmy hates Wiggins. Carl hates Jimmy. Like, it seems like if those...
That's the best children's book ever.
Right. I think that's like a math problem. If Jimmy hates Carl and Jimmy hates Andrew, which of the following is true? So, yeah, I mean, like, talent-wise, they should be way over this line. But it just feels like...
Wait. Should they, though?
I mean...
Should they, though?
If they got over 47 last... Or they were 47 last year.
I get that.
And, like, it's Tibbs. So he's not going to learn his goddamn lesson. And he's going to play all these dudes 38 minutes a game. I mean...
But outside of Jimmy and Carl, like, when you look at that roster, like, there is a significant step down from those two.
Yeah. And, I mean, it's maybe unfair to say this about Towns, but he hasn't taken the step forward on defense that you would hope he would.
You damn Skippy.
So, I don't want to say he's, like, not, he doesn't contribute to wins, because that's not true. I mean, he's, you know, he's not putting up totally empty numbers, but...
Right.
It does.
And he's their best shooter.
Right. That doesn't help either. It's... I mean, like, Teague is good. Gibson is good. They're deserving starters.
Yeah.
Wiggins puts up numbers, albeit inefficiently. Like,
right, but those three are in the same type of category, right?
Right, yeah.
I mean,
yeah.
I know people would be inclined to go, oh, but Wiggins is far ahead above, you know, Taj and Jeff.
No,
but
no.
Is he, though? No, right? I mean, I'm just looking at that roster. I'm not seeing, like, the star power that we thought this team would turn into because we all, like, anticipated Wiggins would be so much better. We kind of had him pegged as an automatic third star.
Right.
I don't know. I get what you're saying, but I'm also seeing a lot of this, like, oh, but Minnesota has so much talent. I'm just like, where?
Mm. Yeah.
I don't think I see it to the same extent.
Well, and I mean, they have Tyus Jones, who's actually good, but he's never going to play because they brought back
Derrick Rose. Well, he is now.
Why?
He is now. No Jamal Crawford.
Oh, yeah, that's still... He's too young. Tibbs isn't going to play him.
Oh, Derrick Rose is going to play the two.
Yeah, exactly. And, like, they have...
No, but that's going to open up for Tyus.
They have those two rookies I like as well, but those guys are also never going to play. It's going to be Anthony Tolliver and Derrick Rose, and it's going to be a 7-man rotation.
Oh, God, you're right.
All right, New Orleans Pelicans, 45.5.
I love their front court. Mm-hmm. I absolutely love their front court. And on paper, I think they could be one of the best in the league. Mm-hmm. Anthony Davis, when fully healthy, is just a madman.
Yep.
I'm going to go with the over.
Ooh.
But just slightly.
I went the under here.
Yeah, you did. I saw. I was kind of... I mean, it would have to be like a marginal change, right?
Yeah.
You're not going to... Okay, yeah.
I just don't have faith that Anthony Davis is going to stay healthy. And if he doesn't stay healthy...
Oh, don't do it. Don't go that route. Come on.
But, like...
He's had two healthy seasons. Don't jinx it.
No, but then the previous four, he missed at least 14 games each season.
Shut up, Brian.
I mean, look, I hope he stays healthy. He picks up a lot of bumps and bruises along the way. And if he goes down, they're fucked.
Yeah, but let's keep it positive. Like, let's keep a positive vibe here because he's played 150 games over the past two, in total over the past two seasons. I get it.
Mm-hmm.
I hear you. But I would hate for him to go down and then look back at this podcast and go, oh, yeah, my co-host is responsible for that.
I brought that bad juju into this world.
Yeah.
No, I know. I mean, if he stays healthy, they go over, I think. If he plays 75 games again, they go over. But I'm just not sure.
And if Nico plays the way that he did,
like
he did it with Chicago last year. Yep. Oh, good Lord.
Yep. Yeah. And then, like, I'm with you. Randall's great. Okafor is whatever. But, like, they aren't going to need to rely on him. He's just
Drew is amazing.
Yeah, Drew's really good. Their wing depth still sucks. I think Rondo's a big loss for them.
Yeah, I don't really have that much of a problem with their wing anymore, given that Holiday is going to play the two.
Mm-hmm.
And Etuan Morris is perfectly fine. He was starting full-time last season. That's debatable. But like, he's a perfectly fine rotation player at the two, even at type of the one and the three. Like, he's a weird 6'4 guy.
Yeah.
Can sort of play three positions.
I think he's going to have to play the three.
He is. And here's the thing. Like, at what point is Solomon Hill going to redeem himself just a little bit?
Is he?
I mean, for his sake and for everyone's sake, I sure hope so.
I mean, it's the wings for me. It's Anthony Davis mm-hmm. himself. And then, like, Rondo, again, going from Rondo to Elfrid Payton is a significant downgrade.
It is.
Because, as you said, Rondo is a really intelligent player. It's not, you know, he's a terrible shooter, but, like, Elfrid Payton is just Rondo without the basketball IQ.
I think that's a perfectly accurate description, unfortunately.
So I don't feel good about picking the under here. I totally could see a world in which they go over, but
mm-hmm.
I lean like 44-45 wins for them instead of, you know, they hit 48 last year, so I'm probably wrong here, but this is just like the nervous Nelly in me.
The Pelicans are one of those teams that really need to hit on a two-way player mm-hmm. or find like a diamond in the rough in the G League.
Yeah.
Like, they're that team. If they find a good wing in the G League who can, you know, transform his NBA into his game into like NBA level,
yep.
Boom, they're right there. That changes the entire roster.
Yeah, I'm totally with you. Oklahoma City Thunder, 50.5.
Yeah, you probably have them at the over. Yeah.
I'm not that high.
Yeah. No, okay. I think that's fair. 50 wins, I could see it. I could also see it go at a little bit less. Mm-hmm. I'm probably taking the under, but not like much, like 48, 49.
Yeah, they had 48 last year. So, you know, that's a...
Yeah.
Yeah, I take the slight over here, and we've talked about...
Oh, okay, slight. Yeah. I like that.
We've talked about these guys enough, I feel like. It's just...
Yeah.
It's the defense. I think the defense is just going to be so goddamn good. If Roberson's back healthy... Swapping out Anthony for Jeremy Grant and Patrick Patterson, having mm-hmm. Nerlens off the bench as your backup center. Yes, I worry about the offense. They don't have many great shooting options, especially. But I think subbing out Melo on offense for lower usage guys, there's less of an issue of division of touches between Westbrook and George. They're not like as worried about stepping on each other's toes. And with George signed long term, Westbrook doesn't have to like, you know, play a certain way to like as a recruiting mission to like keep George in town. Now it can just be like full YOLO Westbrook again, which,
well, he didn't have to do that the year before. Let's just face facts. This guy's going to chase triple double stat lines
right
again.
Right. Yeah. I mean,
I don't think he changes.
No.
He's going to be 30.
Yeah. I don't either. I think he's going to chase his triple double. I think Paul George is going to be better in his second season. I would assume. And that, yeah, I mean, I think I just really like the defensive composition of this roster, and I think it's going to carry them to a lot of wins that they otherwise wouldn't have gotten last year.
I mean, I get the whole defense angle. We've, like you said, we've talked about this before. It all comes down to what type of Russ are we getting.
Yeah.
For me, mm-hmm. I think he's just such a weird component to this whole mix.
Yeah.
And such a crucial opponent component as well.
Mm-hmm.
Like, if he just goes in with his own mindset, like, nothing good is going to come out of it.
Right. And to a lesser extent, that's true of Schroeder as well.
Oh, yeah. Right? Like, if he becomes, like, a locker room nightmare.
Or just, like, mini Russ and, like...
right. Just chucks
yeah,
away.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know. This team, to me, is just... I agree with you on the defense. Like, that should be their one staple.
Mm-hmm.
But their offense, I feel, is going to swing wildly.
Yeah. Oh, it totally is.
And I'm just questioning how much consistency you can get out of that.
That's totally fair.
The name of the game is still outscoring your opponents.
right. I mean, I think that is a fair concern.
Yeah.
The Phoenix Suns, 28.5.
I mean, on the surface, the immediate reaction is a little bit under.
Mm-hmm.
But, I mean, we've actually been one of the few people who gone on to rave about Devin Booker.
Yeah, that's true.
and I still love DeAndre Ayton.
Yep.
They got Mikal Bridges. Mm-hmm. They gave up a little bit too much for him, but they got him.
Right.
He's NBA ready.
Yep.
They have Trevor Ariza. Josh Jackson is going to be in his second season. So when you really dig into it and you think about it and you look at the improvements Devin Booker has had year to year, I wouldn't be surprised at all if they crack 30.
I took the under here.
Because they're in the West?
Because they're in the West and because rookie big men tend to struggle, especially ones who are not known for defense. I think their offense is going to be better, significantly better mm-hmm. than it was last year. I have no faith in their right. defense.
Well, they didn't have any defense last year either.
I know. They finished with 21 wins.
I know. But, I mean, when you look at the production that they got from their bigs, in particular, Dragan Bender and Marquese Chris, like, Ayton should be an immediate upgrade.
Yeah.
Offensively, at least.
Right.
I mean, and on the glass. Let's not forget the rebounding aspect.
That's true. But
this guy could come in and average 15 and 11 right off the bat, if not more.
Yeah, I think he's gonna. It wouldn't surprise me. I mean, Okafor had 17 and 7 his rookie year. I think Ayton puts up at least that, if not better.
Yeah, I would agree.
So, I agree. And, like, yeah, you said it. They definitely, they have a nice, like, collection of young talent. I'm very high on them long term. It's just, I think it's going to take a season for them to figure everything out. So maybe, like, I could see maybe they pile up wins toward the end of the year when teams are, like, starting to rest for the playoffs or teams are starting to tank. And, like, maybe they squeak over the 28.5 and get to 30. But
mm-hmm.
I think they're pretty clearly the second worst team in the West. And I think they're going to get pounded more nights than not.
Even if that's true, I would say this. They're going to be immensely entertaining.
Oh, yeah.
Especially if Rashawn Holmes gets minutes and Ele Okobo gets minutes. Yep. Because, I mean, people who haven't watched him, you're going to love him.
Mm-hmm.
Like, he's really entertaining.
Yep.
I think they could make a lot of noise when it comes to, like, highlight plays and just being fun to watch. Like, one of those really up-and-coming young squads you gotta have an eye out for.
Yeah, I haven't done my league pass rankings yet, but I can guarantee they'll be in my top 10 at least.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
For sure.
You know, a team that will not be in my top 10 is the Portland Trailblazers. Mm-hmm.
I'm not with you on that one, as I have talked about last time. Yeah.
But their over-under is 41.5.
Yeah, over.
Yeah, that seems really low, right?
It does. I mean, that's one of the certainties for me.
Yeah.
I mean, that goes over.
Me too.
Like, it's still Dame and CJ. Come on now.
Right. They won 49 last year. And, like,
right.
Yeah, they lost Shabazz Napier and Ed Davis, but
they got better overall.
If nothing else, they didn't lose 8 wins worth of talent.
Agreed, but I still think they got better overall.
Yeah.
I mean, maybe not for the immediate future, but
they
cleared up minutes for Zach Collins, who I think is going to be good this year.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I don't think the loss of Ed Davis, they'll feel it, but I don't think it's as substantial as people make it out to be.
That's fair, because Zach Collins is going to take a step forward.
Right. And Caleb Swatigan.
Mm. Yeah.
I think you have two bigs who can come in and replace a lot of the things that he did, at least offensively. Defensively, Davis will always be better than those two, I feel.
Mm-hmm.
But he was not a shooter, for example.
Right.
Zach Collins will come in and shoot immediately.
Yep.
Swanigan can hit a three as well. They can rebound. Like, they can replace a lot of that.
Yeah. And then adding Seth Curry.
Seth Curry. Gary Trent.
Our podcast, baby boy Seth Curry.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. No, I mean, I think they still, I don't think I'm going to pick them to make the playoffs this year. It's going to, my annual tradition of underrating the Blazers is going to continue.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, I mean, I still think they win at least like 43, 44.
Oh yeah.
41.5 just seemed really low to me.
Mm-hmm.
The Sacramento Kings come in at 25.5. That was my reaction.
That's actually difficult. That's really difficult. I mean, that it really hinges on Marvin Bagley, I feel. If he's going to put up really absurd numbers, and I kind of feel he has the game and the opportunity to do so in Sacramento because who else is going to do it? Mm-hmm. Like, they could get a fairly balanced offensive production out of both their wings and their bigs mm-hmm. to the point where they will win weird games.
I mean, they won...
But it's still the Kings.
They won 27 last year.
Right.
That's where I'm starting from when I'm thinking about this line.
Well, they did get better just by internal improvements right. and getting a right. And De'Aaron Fox should be better. Mm-hmm. It's still the Kings, though.
I know. That's the problem. Like, logically, this should be an over. But
right.
Kings, that is the problem.
Exactly. Exactly.
Yeah.
But, okay, you know, they got Nemanja Bjelica uh-huh. and Yogi Ferrell.
Yep.
They are somewhat experienced.
Yep.
And if they close games, they should be able to maybe squeeze out a few more. All right, I'm going to go with the over. I'm going to be optimistic for a change in regards to Sacramento. But just hear this now. I won't be a bit surprised if they end up with like 19.
Oh, yeah. Well, they don't own their pick this year, so they have no incentive to tank.
I know, and I still wouldn't be surprised.
I mean, it's totally possible. They have Harry Giles coming back. Or, like, making his debut, I guess.
Making his... Right. They have Justin Jackson coming back, mm-hmm. who is... who did not exactly have the greatest of seasons.
Right. Bogdan Bogdanovic is gonna... I mean, he is who he is, but he's good.
He's good.
Yeah. And as you said, Fox is going into his second season. Like, all of their young bigs, Cauley Stein, Scal, are all a year older.
Stephen Curry at the two.
Right, yep, Buddy Hield. I mean, he's young. He improved last year. Like, I don't think... I think that it's between the Kings and the Suns for the worst team in the West, but it wouldn't totally shock me if the Kings won 31, 32 games. Like, they won 32 the previous season, 33 the year before that. Like, they've finished between 27 and 33 in each of the past 6 years.
I'm looking at that roster right now, and it just looks so bad.
Right. I mean, I've been saying throughout this episode, like, they're in the West, so they're going to get pounded. Like, that very yeah. much applies to the Kings, too. But unlike the Lakers with LeBron, I think teams are going to look at the Kings and, you know, just see it as basically a schedule win for them. So I think they're going to, like, I think the Kings have the type of young talent that can come out and surprise an opponent. Like, a team will write them off as just a pushover, and then they'll come out mm-hmm. and actually put up more of a fight. But yeah, you're relying on a bunch of young guys. You're probably going to get beat up a lot of nights. I think they just right? feast toward the end of the year while teams are tanking and resting, and they get over the 25 win mark at that
yeah, point. They pick up a lot?
Yeah.
Okay. I could see that being the case. Yeah. I will say that. But I'm just not optimistic about anything regarding this team. Not at all.
Neither am I. San Antonio Spurs, 43.5.
Over.
I don't understand that line at all.
No. Over. I mean, are we sure Vegas didn't make a typo?
Right. Like, they won 47 last year, and Kawhi Leonard yeah. played 9 games.
Right.
Now you're adding DeMar DeRozan and Jakob Poeltl. I know. I mean, they also lost Danny Green. They lost Tony Parker. They lost Kyle Anderson. We still don't know about Manu, right?
We don't know about Manu yet. But I mean, even if we assume that he's not going to return, mm-hmm. they should still beat out that line.
I would think so. I mean,
yeah.
Like,
I mean, look, it's DeMar DeRozan. It's because people are sleeping on DeMar.
Yeah, I agree.
Like, they've always slept under Mark.
Yeah. And they also added Bellinelli, who's a terrible defender, but he's a good shooter and hits these, like, absurd...
He'll win you 3 games at the very least.
Right. Like, he'll just get hot one night and hit, like, 5 threes in a row, and that wins yeah. you a game.
That's what he does. Yeah. Like, he has these games where in the fourth quarter, he can be 0-for-8, and he'll just get hot,
mm-hmm.
and he'll take you home.
Yep. And LaMarcus Aldridge was very good last year. There's no yep. reason to expect that will change this year. Like, he and Pop had his little heart-to-heart. They figured out how best to use him.
He re-signed.
Yeah, right. Exactly.
I mean,
yeah.
Who saw that coming?
Yeah. So, like...
Right.
I mean,
DeJounte Murray is going to get better.
This team is going to be very low in my league pass rankings just because they're going to set basketball back about 40 years with all of their mid-range shots and very few three-pointers. But it's, I mean, as long as Greg Popovich is coming back and we've heard nothing to indicate otherwise, like, they're going to win 50 games again. It's just what the Spurs do.
Yeah. Yep. And Lonnie Walker, yeah. I wouldn't sleep on him even in the first year.
Yeah. Well, especially if Manu doesn't come back.
Right?
Yeah.
Yeah. And Bryn Forbes, also, like, take note. This dude is good.
As is Davis Bertans.
He is. Right. And Rudy Gay, like, he came off the Achilles injury. Mm-hmm. And I just feel like he's bound to have some sort of bounce back season. Not that he'll come back and average like the 20 points that he used to. Right. But I wouldn't be surprised if he came back and just played efficient basketball.
Yeah.
Shot the ball well, rebounded at a higher level. Like, when he was engaged, he was actually a pretty good defender. Mm-hmm. People just crapped on him because he wasn't consistent, which is fair. Like, you should crap on someone for not being consistent. But when he was on, he was an impactful defender. If he can regain that somewhat. And again, it also takes about a year to learn the system in San Antonio. Like, right. Richard Jefferson has been on record for saying that so many times. Mm-hmm. I just think Rudy is not entirely done.
Yeah. I mean, on a per-minute basis last year, he averaged 19.2 points and 8.5 rebounds. Or per 36-minute basis, I should say. Like, he played well. He just played limited minutes.
Right.
And, like, Tony Parker did not play very well last year. I know it hurts for, you know, emotional ties make his departure hurt. But
yeah,
in terms of, like, on-court impact, that wasn't a gigantic loss for them.
Addition by subtraction?
It's possible.
I mean, look, I'm just going to say it. No Spurs fan's going to say that. No, but, no. I mean...
No, they will not.
If those minutes go to, like, a combination of Derek White and Lonnie Walker... Mm-hmm. They'll have something they haven't had with Tony in a long time, which is called athleticism.
Or even Patty Mills.
Or even Patty Mills. I should say with Derek White, not tremendous amounts of athleticism, but with Lonnie Walker, mm-hmm. especially. But yeah, no, Patty is good.
Yeah.
Like, Patty will give you like 12, 13 points, I feel.
Yeah.
On good shooting.
Right.
Yeah.
He averaged 10 in 25.7 minutes last year. I would assume his minutes will probably go up a little bit this year.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
So, yeah. And then, yeah, as you said, like, DeMar DeRozan, he doesn't get much love because of his playoff struggles and because he feasts on mid-range. But, like, he's a multi-time All-Star for a reason. This team's going to be mm-hmm. fine. So, like, of all the lines that we've gone over today, this I probably feel the most strongly about as the over.
Yep, me too. Me too.
So let's wrap things up then with the Utah Jazz at 48.5.
Over.
Me too.
Yep. So we were talking about, you know, defense for in terms of OKC, and you had them at 50 plus. Mm-hmm. Like, that defense is right there.
Yep. I mean, probably even better.
Even better, yeah, likely.
It's
Gobert. It's Gobert, and I think this second year is also really going to showcase that Donovan Mitchell was a good defender at Louisville, yeah. and he has that part of his game. Mm-hmm. He was just asked as a rookie to take 17 shots a game. Right. That is going to affect your defensive intensity.
Yeah.
Now he should be more accustomed to the league. Joe Ingles is increasingly getting better year by year, both as a playmaker and a defender, as a shooter, as an overall scorer. Gobert, I feel, is going to have a bounce back year offensively. Mm-hmm. So if that all proves true, you know, Mitchell should be able to establish himself more so defensively while still maintaining like an absurd scoring average.
Right. Yeah, here's what I like about Utah. They have a lot of versatility in their lineups.
Mm-hmm.
Because you can go with, I mean, I'm assuming they're going to start Favors and Gobert as they have been. And those guys actually played well yep. together last year. But then they can also go small with Jay Crowder at the four. You can move Joe Ingles to the four. They have Thabo yep. Sefolosha, if we're talking about defense as well. Like, they have a bunch of these, like, versatile wings that will prove yep. especially useful in the playoffs. Like, against mm-hmm. a Golden State, Utah, I think, is going to have the type of personnel to give them a real challenge. Exum as well. I mean, we saw what he did against James Harden in the playoffs last year. We just have to hope he stays healthy. Same goes for Alec Burks. I mean, if you're talking about scoring punch off the bench, Alec Burks is right there. Grayson Allen, I think, is going to provide some sort of pop just as a shooter.
Yep.
Like, I like...
And as a defender. Mm. Like, he plays hard. I know he's not known as, like, a disruptive defender.
Because he's white.
But, like, he... Maybe. But he gets in your face.
Yeah.
I mean, that counts for something. He frustrates the living hell out of you.
Right. And then kicks you in the nuts.
That and trips you up hardcore. Right. Yeah.
Right.
But that aside, I mean, he's bringing a mentality... Like, even if he isn't, like, the most polished defender, he provides something on a psychological level that will help them.
Yeah. Yeah, I totally agree. I mean, this team, I think, last year was, like, their coming to Jesus moment about, like, we lost Gordon Hayward. Can we still be competitive? They still won 48 games. Now, this year, they realize, like, okay, we're fine. Donnie Mitchell's got us offensively. Gobert is the reigning defensive player of the year. Now it's time to step up. If they won 48 last year and Gobert missed 26 games, I think that says it all. I think it does. As long as he's healthy, they're going to be fine.
Yep.
All right, so that will do it for the Western Conference over-unders. We will have another episode in a couple days where we do this for the Eastern Conference, so keep an eye out on our Twitter feed at the NBA Pod for that. You can also find our Twitter handles in our bio, so give us a follow as well. You can also find us on iTunes, so please subscribe, download, leave some 5-star reviews. We love any feedback. And we're now being hosted on the Almighty Baller Podcast Network, so check them out on Twitter at Almighty Casts. Until next time, I'm Brian Toporek, and I was joined, as always, by Morten Jensen. Have a good one, Mort.
Well, it's raining, so I'm having a great one already.